Welcome back. My next guest is Nestor J. Aparicio here, doing great things all across the radio waves and beyond. Nestor, welcome in.
What's going on? Happy 4th of July. It's a little early. I mean, when the holiday's in the middle of the week, they don't know whether to have the Heritage Fair this week or next week. It's this week. So I'm going to get all of my hot dogs, hamburgers, baseball, that out of my system this weekend.
Well, good stuff. Hey, look, great baseball weather. Orioles doing okay. Ran into a very hot Cincinnati Reds team. I took in the game Tuesday night, and it's apparent we need some pitching, need some better pitching to hold up in order for this team to make a run in the playoffs. They'll get in the playoffs, but how far they'll go, I think we could all agree, will depend on how that starting pitching holds up.
Well, disappointing to see Gibson get banged around early and they kind of hang around. And, you know, I thought they'd go to the bullpen a little earlier. And then they wind up losing the game in the 10th inning. I mean, you know, the Reds, they caught the Reds at the wrong time. I'm wearing Reds colors here on your Coon Sports stuff.
Really,
but
did.
I mean, but the Reds, like, were selling out games last week against the Dodgers, and they have this kid who's a sensation. There were a lot of Reds fans. You know, more Reds fans in Camden Yards than I've ever seen Bengals fans in Baltimore.
There were, you know, when the other night, again, Tuesday night, they were very loud. Very boisterous, and that kid Elliott, he was just lights out on the mound. Not a good night for the
Elliott. Imagine being from Cincinnati, Dan. I mean, like,
no,
seriously,
I
you're from Baltimore,
that,
right? Imagine if you're from Cincinnati, and you've had the Bengals all these years. And look, the Bengals at the Super Bowl a year and a half ago, my final Super Bowl before they threw me out after 28 years. Yeah, I'm out in L.A., and they're playing the Rams. And my whole hotel was Bengals fans. There are Bengals fans everywhere. And I thought to myself, I've been coming to your city for 30 years seeing football. Yeah. There, you know, like, there have been two or three occasions. The Carson Palmer for 5 minutes. You know, Marvin had some enthusiasm there.
He did.
And then this thing has happened there for their city. Not unlike our city, but because we've had a football team that's been competitive for 25 years for the most part. We've always thought we have a chance, even if we don't have a chance, quite frankly. But in Cincinnati, they knew the Reds have never had a chance. The Bengals are poorly owned.
Right.
Like us, they're not getting the basketball team or hockey team. They have the Bearcats, which, you know, the Bearcats may be the biggest deal in Cincinnati. You know, of all of them, when their football team does well or the basketball team was doing well in Huggins and, like, all that stuff there, there's some inertia for it. I think the Bengals there are people feel like that they do about the Orioles, about the ownership.
Right.
I mean, the ownership's been so bad there. And now the football team's good. I can only imagine being a chili-eating Cincinnatian who has suffered the Reds, suffered Marge Schott, suffered Pete Rose, suffered bad baseball, suffered really lousy football for the most part. And the football team, since Marvin got there, they haven't been lousy. They just have been disappointing, right?
Right.
I mean, they've been good. They've had a lot of good players the last 15 years. But for that city, they've been waiting on the baseball team. You know, they literally – not this city, not here. We're not waiting on the Orioles to fix us because the Ravens are broken. But in Cincinnati, the Bengals have been so awful, and the Reds have still always been above the fray there. I mean, they love the Reds in Cincinnati. It's just they stink. Yeah. Now they're good, and you see in 1 week, they turn around and they're sold out. That's not what the Orioles have going on in Baltimore. That's obvious.
Yeah. And,
right?
I don't know anything about Cincinnati ownership. You could speak.
Bob Castellini is the owner. He was one of the original men who put the money in that Angelo's sort of usurped with Bill DeWitt. So Bob Castellini and Bill DeWitt were a part of the Orioles. They wanted the Orioles in 1993. They didn't get it. Castellini wound up with the Reds, and DeWitt wound up with the Cardinals. DeWitt's had a better run.
No, obviously he has, for sure. No question about it. But
this
city
would be so much different if Bill DeWitt had bought the team.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Unbelievable.
Well, it's tough when you saddle with poor ownership. It's tough to get behind that, right? You might get behind it for a minute when a team flashes, but that's all you can expect from a team with poor ownership. And
the Orioles have poor ownership right now. I mean, I saw that with my own eyes January 15th when the owner stepped in. I mean, the owner's invisible right now while they're winning. They have no lease. We did hours on that over the last 2 weeks, but I'm not fooled into thinking the Orioles have good ownership because they had a nice pride night the other night and some people are coming to the ballpark and they got a squirt thing going on. That really feels kind of minor league to me, honestly. It doesn't feel like the brand to me, but have at it. I mean, you want to squirt everybody in the outfield? People want to buy tickets for $10. Have at it. But but Cincinnati's the real thing, Dan. I guess that's my point.
They're
my
the
point
real
is
thing.
You're going to see 40,000 people in Cincinnati most nights the rest of the summer.
That's
because
crazy.
They're good.
That's crazy.
I mean, go and watch. I mean, you'll see it. You'll see it.
The Orioles are good, and I'm not sure what the crowd looked like in terms of attendance Wednesday night, but I can tell you Tuesday night it was sparse. I mean, it was a nice night.
Wednesday was full because not full, but for them full.
I understood.
It was Pride Night.
Right.
I mean, they have sold this. I mean, they didn't care about Pride people for a long, long time, and now they're using it to sell for a night. I mean, honestly, Dennis, I am incredibly respectful of the LGBT community. I mean, anybody, look up my track record. But man, if you watch a game on Wednesday, it's beyond patronizing. I mean, Palmer sounded uncomfortable. Like just every inning, it was an infomercial for Pride, which fine, but like, don't tell me you're not doing it to sell tickets. Don't tell me this comes from the heart. This is about like, this is a promotion for them, like the floppy hat is, like Shaquille O'Neal is, and like the Hawaiian shirt is on set. I mean, they've built a thing that they're going to have a lot of people there this weekend. I got offered tickets Friday night. I said to my wife, we're going to the Heritage Fair. I mean, first off, it's Heritage Fair weekend, and that's like a high holy holiday when you're from Dundalk. It just is. And so I got offered tickets, and I said, do I want to go down there when there's 45,000 people, all who want to get a hat, and they're going to be smoked up? And Shaquille O'Neal sounds like, it sounded like a fun night, but it sounds like I'd rather go on a Tuesday when it's sleepy and sparse, as you said.
Well, it is. It is sleepy and sparse. And you know, again, we have a good team, a solid team, and you have a red hot team, pun intended there, with the Cincinnati Reds coming in. And look, it's been exciting, good baseball to watch.
Every night it's been worth watching.
It has been. I had the sound off Wednesday night when they were down 3-0. I blinked and they were down 3-0 in the first inning. And
then they caught up and they fell up behind.
They went up 4-3. Yeah, it was a seesaw game. Look, it was a very entertaining game. So we're getting our money's worth. But now, again, to me, Gibson got roughed up in that first inning. And I'm really concerned about the starting pitching. And Gibson didn't get the hook earlier.
Who was concerned about the starting pitching? And I don't want to give him up because he's too busy getting fat on pizza right now down in Wildwood. That would be our Luke Jones, who sat here all winter. And the only one, because you're not going to hear that on the flagship, you're not going to hear Lock and Four now that he's taking a check from Uncle John, Cousin John. That's a new nickname for him. Nobody in the city's talking about the lease. I mean, I don't know that everybody's really talking about them winning or being good or even their pitching. I don't know that they've captured the heart of the city yet, right?
When you don't care about ownership, why would you care about the lease? It was no different than when Bob Irsay was the owner of the Colts. Nobody cared about the Irsay family or what they did. Until the team was gone. Right now, we never thought we'd lose a team. I was a young man, and I saw where the city was going to impose eminent domain or the state or whatever to keep the Colts from leaving. But turned out that was false because they packed up, as we know, and they left town. But it's hard to support poor ownership now. So we'll,
every time I go to reach in my pocket, I think about who owns the team. And I think, like,
hard.
Dennis, I swear to God, I want to give John like some rope. I mean, I have been giving John rope. I've been writing things. Go back and read anything I've written over the last 5 years in regard to his father falling into, you know, where he is and who's going to run the place, who's running the place, who's in front of the thing. And then he showed up in his cowboy boots this year long enough for me to say, I don't think so. I mean, they talked about Wednesday night. And I'm not going to talk too much about this, but I should talk about it every day. You know Luke's on vacation, right?
Yep.
So you don't work here, obviously, but you have a part of what we do here. I work here. I own the place, right? If I wanted to go down and cover the game on Wednesday night, they wouldn't let me in on Pride Night when they want to be inclusive to everyone. But I'm not in. They don't let me in. And John's taken over. And, like, if you want to fix your father's problems, I mean, feel free. But quite frankly, the issue with the Orioles that I had in 2004, where they didn't pay the bill and then they squirted me with the bird, that was John was the one that didn't pay the bill. John was running the place at the time for those 10 minutes. So, like, you know, John, nothing's different with John. It still says Angelos on the outside if you've watched the press conferences. Now, that being said, they put Elias on with Rob Long before the game to say all the right things about Pride and all the right things about we're trying to do this for the city, and he called it a project. Mike Elias called it, I came here on this project Sounded like an architect. That sounded like Mike Brady in the Brady. So I'm on a project here in Baltimore. And by the way, TikTok. I don't know if he has a contract or not.
Yeah, he wasn't wrong. It was a project. He wasn't wrong making that statement.
He said this project's going in the right direction, and it really is.
It really is
going in the right direction. Now, where's the leadership? Who's in front of it? Where are we? Where's the lease, John? Where's the lease? And to all of that, I got offered free tickets on Friday night, and I really had to ask myself, do I want to be in the beer garden in Dundalk, or do I want to be at the stadium with 45,000 people and Shaquille O'Neal? And I thought, there'll be other games. There will be other Shaquille games. I mean, like, the Shaquille thing sounds like fun. I like the dance. I like music. Sure. I like a Friday night out. You know, I'm down with all of that. But I got offered a free ticket for the first time this year, and I turned it down because I had just had something else that sounded like more fun. Now, Tuesday night, had you called me and said, hey, I got two extra tickets, Mr. Coons, do you want to come down? You know, I mean, it depends, I guess, on what I was on a yoga mat Tuesday night. So, like, that's what I was doing, but I'd like to go. I just want to go on my own terms, and I want to go when I feel like going. Tuesday was a great night because of a good pitching matchup. That kid Abbott.
Yeah, it was a great pitching matchup. Then we got hit with rain right at 9 o'clock, which
it's another thing. Oh my God!
Which wasn't
I tell
good.
Luke all the time.
Yeah, it wasn't
dude,
good.
These rain delays. If I had to pay you more for the rain delays, oh my God! Right.
I know that Tuesday morning Luke got home at 2 o'clock from covering the game. I mean, it was a late night for him. They had an hour and 45 minute rain delay.
Well, this is what they ask fans to do after they pay $80 for a box seat and $15 for a beer and $30 to park and like on and on and on. And I get it with concerts, Dan. Right, like. I go to a lot of concerts. You went to a concert that apparently you weren't very comfortable last week. You didn't love your experience because it wasn't a seat. And it wasn't this. And you thought it was this.
Well,
I
missold a ticket. So of course I wasn't happy.
You were sold a ticket that had a seat on it?
Seat number, correct. And there was no seats. So, yeah, that's something we're taking up with TixPix. Not happy about that. False advertising. Row 14, seats 3 and 4. There was no row 14. It was a mosh pit. You tell me. Yeah.
Well, yeah. That changes your shoes. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I wish I would have worn tennis shoes. It was a tennis shoe, you know, Skechers, whatever you want. It's just very soft bottom shoes, not cowboy boots. That's for sure.
Well, it was Darius Rucker. How was the show, by the way? Did he play Wagon Wheel? Did he play some Moody?
He did. He played. He closed with Wagon Wheel, but he played for 2 hours. He sang his butt off. It was the performance was epic. It was really good. It was right up there with Kenny Chesney.
He's unbelievable. I mean, I saw him with Hootie and the Blowfish about five times three summers ago. I love Hootie and the Blowfish. I love Darius. You know, Darius spent a lot of time in Baltimore. His child, the mother of his child, was here and lived in Cockeysville.
Oh, did not know that.
30 years ago. No, okay. I mean, Darius jumped on stage with Eddie Lauer 30 years ago down in – I mean, Darius was in the city a lot. And Darius, yeah, obviously a big sports fan like all that. But I love music. And to your point – to your point, what's the experience? How much is the beer? Do I have to sit on the lawn? Is it going to rain? My wife and I thought about Shania Twain the other night. It was the same night that you went to the game. Tuesday night was Shania Twain, yoga, Orioles. I went to yoga. But Sunday night, I went to The Cure, and I'm out on the lawn, and if the lightning comes. Did you see the hailstorm at Red Rocks? Google the video of that. Red Rocks has nowhere to hide. Red Rocks is on
nice.
A hill.
Nice.
And there was a hailstorm. And not the band, not Lizzie Hale. Hey, Hale, the real Hale, H-A-I-L,
Hale. Okay.
Right? Well, coming out. So that's a bad experience. Hailstorm at Red Rocks, you pay $200 to be there, it's a bad night. But to all of our points, where you spend your money, where you spend your attention, where your energy goes and your mind flows and where you want to be, and then you say to yourself, all right, how much is it bringing me back? How do I feel about it? And the Orioles in my living room have been just fine. I mean, Palmer's really cantankerous, right? Palmer is like old and crotchety now. I love angry Jim. Jim might say anything. Jim is worth like putting on like in that Don Cherry, you know, Charles Barkley kind of way at this point. Jim's capable of saying anything.
Jim's at an age and point in time in his life. I don't think he cares. So, Ness, we're up against the clock. I appreciate your time. And I know I got to get you out of here. So, Anything you want to say to wrap
up? I can talk to you all night, but happy 4th. That's all I'm going to say.
Happy
4th. Go Orioles. And I'll see you next week. And we're one step closer to training camp, Dennis.
Say hello to my Dunlop peeps during Heritage Fair. Be well. Stay well.
Well, you come down anyway, man. You always have a spot for you in the beer garden, all right?
I appreciate that. I'll look you up. There you go.
I'm in that one area of the beer garden. It's the non-smoking area. I'm the only guy.
If I show up, you'll have company. I don't smoke either.
Hey, beginning Saturday, I don't want to say, I mean, I don't want to, you know, but beginning Saturday, the rules change about all of that. So I have a feeling the air will smell a little different on Sunday in the beer garden than it did on Friday.
I'm sure it will. I don't do that either. All
31
right.
31 years on the radio and they've made it legal. Now I'm allowed to joke about it then.
There you go. And there he goes. Nestor Aparicio here, 1570 AM WNSC. We'll take a quick break and come back right after this.